Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Bet, taking a look at various attempts to reconcile the contradiction between the Mishnah that assumes a suspicion of revia, of bestiality among Akum, as opposed to the Braita brought at the beginning of our Sugya, in which we are allowed to buy animals from them, assuming them to be untouched in that way. At this point, we were analyzing Rabbi Pedat's solution, which assigned the Mishnah to Rabbi Eliezer and the Braita to Chachamim. Ad kan lo pligi ela b'chashasha. And we pick it up in the middle of a discussion. We point out that the only machloket between them is whether or not we are concerned that the default case is that they may have had bia. Aval hecha devadai rava, but if there was certainly bestiality, then pasla. And remember, our focus was on the para aduma. Shma mina de para kod shemizbeachu. What does that prove to you? That the para has a din of kod shemizbeach, even though you will recall the para aduma never goes into the city of Yerushalayim. It is slaughtered and burnt and the ashes mixed and all everything is done outside of the city on Har HaZeitim. So shma mina de para kod shemizbeachu. Why? De'i kod shemizbeachu. Because in the world there's only two kinds of kod shemizbeach that go on the altar, the Kodshei Ben HaKabayit that don't, and that are the property of the Mikdash. And now, if you call Paraduma Kodshei Ben HaKabayit Mimifsala Barvia, after all, you could also be Makdish a rock or a piano. So you certainly could be Makdish an animal that has had something happen to it. So the answer is Shani Parad Echatat Kari Rachmana. The Paraduma is kind of in a unique status because the Torah, even though it never goes on the Mizbeach, and it does not have a din of Kodshei Mizbeach, the Torah calls it a Chatat through the Parsha Paraduma. Take a look in Bamidbar Yotet. But if that's the case, then it should be Pasul if it was born in a C-section. If you think that's the case, we find that Rabbi Shimon, against Chachamim, says that a C-section Paraduma is kosher. Maybe Rabbi Shimon is being consistent and says C-section is considered a valid birth. But Rabbi Yochanan testified that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai agrees with Chachamim about Kodshim, that if you sanctify an animal that was born a C-section, it's not Kodosh, which means he holds that Yotzei Dofen is not a perfect birth. It's something else. And as a result of that, how does Rabbi Shimon say that a Paraduma could be Yotzei Dofen and still be okay? We have a special, unique halacha that even though paraduma never goes into Yerushalayim, the Torah says asher ein ba mum, it has to have no blemish, and therefore, since a mum affects it, also any sexual promiscuity affecting it or avodah zarah affecting it also invalidates it. Dichtiv, watch this, kimosh chatam bahem mum bam. In the context of mumei kohanim, it says their hashchata, their destruction is in them, and therefore there's a mum. The word hashchata is always an allusion to arayot, sexual promiscuity, and avodah zarah, or avodah zarah. How do we know that? In the antediluvian description of the world, it says that every man or flesh has fouled its own path, and the assumption there is crossbreeding and all sorts of weird sexual deviancies. Then in Parshat Vetchanan, we read, beware that you don't do hashchata and do avodah zarah. So you, therefore, he says, since this paraduma has the invalidity of a mum, if there is a mum, then therefore, any sexual promiscuity affecting the animal, or deviance affecting the animal, or avodah zarah, let's say somebody worshipped the animal, it would also be invalid. So it's a unique kind of status. Okay, Gufa, let's go back to Shayla's take on Rabbi Eliezer, which is very difficult. Tani Shayla, my tama to Rabbi Eliezer. Why did Rabbi Eliezer say that you can't buy paraduma from a non-Jew? Not because of a concern of what happened to it, but rather because gzerata katu, dichtiv, daber b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu. Right? And the way we turn it around is not that B'nai Yisrael should buy, but B'nai Yisrael yikhu v'en avdoi kochav yichum, and you have to buy from B'nai Yisrael. Zerata katuv. But if that's the case, then that would mean that all of the items used for the mikdash have to be bought from a Jew, based on your twist. You can't say, maybe perhaps that's the case, that you have to buy all appurtenances and jewelry and everything used for the Mishkan from a Jew. That famous story, they asked Rabbi Eliezer, what's the extent? How far do you have to go to honor your parents? There was a guy in Ashkelon, a non-Jew, named Dama ben Netina. His name is probably meaningful in this context of the story. We'll get to that later. And look how far he went. And as Tosa points out, this had to be during the second Beit HaMikdash time, which makes the Ephod kind of difficult here, because the Ephod, the Choshen, etc., were not operating in the second Mikdash. And Meshishim Ribo Sachar, they were willing to pay 600,000 dinarim, Rokhana Matni Shonim Ribo, 800,000 dinarim, for the special onyx stones that he had for the ephod. His father was sleeping, and the keys to the safe where he kept these, or the storehouse, were under his pillow. Velotziaro, he didn't bother his father. In other words, even though he stood to lose all of this money. Now, what's a little bit difficult about this is that probably any reasonable father would have said, of course, wake me up if you can make that kind of profit. But that's the way the story is told. And the point of the story is, of course, in its context, is to show you how far you have to go to honor your parents, even if it means losing a tremendous amount of money. But the point here, for our purpose, is that they were willing to buy Avnei Shoham, the rocks that would be used for the Ephod, from a non-Jew. So the answer is Avnei Shoham Hifzik Kanyan. If you look at the list of the in Parsha Truma, the Vavs all link them together. The next Pasuk starts Avnei Shoham without a Vav. And therefore, it's like a new Parsha. And this is now not affected by Bnei Israel, and you can buy from anybody. But the next word is Avnei Shoham V'Avnei Miluim. And the Vav there connects it. The Hadar Arve. V'yod, besides that, Ktani Sefer, what's the end of that famous story? L'shana Acheret, Nodalo Paraduma Be'edro. And the sense of the story is that this was some sort of a reward for his great Kiburav, is that he had a Paraduma born into his herd. Nichlesu Chachamei Yisrael Etzlo, so the Chachamim came and to buy the Paraduma. And that's why Tosafot points out it had to be Bayit Sheni, because Bayit Rishon, according to the Masorah, there was only one Paraduma, that one of Moshe, and its ashes lasted that long. Amar Lahem, so what did Rama Ben Netina say to the Chachamim? No matter how much money I ask of you, I have no email, you'll give it to me. All I'm asking is the 600 or 800,000 that I lost because of the Avnei Shoham that I couldn't sell you to honor my father. Now, what happened next, we don't know, but the point is that they were willing to buy the Paraduma from him. And therefore, you can't say that because Avnei Shoham is now without a Vav, that it's okay, because this comes back to our original issue. So the answer is Hatamai de Targa Yisrael Azavun, that they used a Jewish middleman, meaning, in both cases, they went to Dama Menatina to buy the stones, and they had another Jewish, a Jew with them. He would buy the stones as a regular citizen, he'd sell them to the Mishkan, same thing with the Paraduma. That solves that problem. But Rabbi Eliezer, L'chayish L'Raviyah, is Rabbi Eliezer's only problem with buying it from a non-Jew, the Yikchu Bnei Yisrael, but he's not concerned about bestiality? Another version of the story, they said, how can you say you can't paraduma? They bought paraduma from this guy. Either his name was Dama or Remetz. Rabbi Eliezer, Misham Raya. He said, that doesn't prove anything. Yisrael, hayum shomim otam mishashin olda. Jews were watching this animal from the moment it was born to make sure nothing wrong was done with it. Not a sack on its back and not somebody having relations with it. Okay, good. We're going to get more into this, but just one point is that Dama ben Netina very likely is a deliberate name because Dama, of course, is Dam and Edom and blood red. And Netina is a gift. So in other words, this man was given a paraduma as a reward for what he did in honoring his father. Okay. Rabbi Eliezer Tartitla. The answer is, of course, Rabbi Eliezer is concerned about this. He's concerned about both. Kicha v'chayish tam l'raviyah. First of all, it has to be bought from a Jew. Second of all, there's a concern about raviyah. Since even if you use a Jewish middleman, if it was held by the non-Jew for all that time, you have to be concerned. So therefore, how do you beat both issues? You use a Jewish middleman, and you keep an eye on the animal from the day it's born. So now, let's see if that really works. Amar mar. Yisrael yibishar mimo tam yishashin olda. Why aren't we concerned that maybe before it was born, while it was still in utero, its mother was near Bat. Amar Rava, why is that a concern? Because Rava said, Vlad hanogachat asura. If, remember, an animal that's nogeach can't be brought to the Mizbeach. So if you have an animal that was nogeach and it had a baby in utero, that baby can't be brought to the Mizbeach either. Why? Because he uvladanachu, because both the mother and the baby in utero were participants in the goring. Vlad hanirbat asura. The same thing if an animal was the object of bestiality and it had a baby inside, he uvladanirbu. The baby is also asur because it also was nearby. So therefore, watching this paraduma from the moment it's born isn't enough. So Ema Yisraeli Mishamim Otam Ishashin Notzra. We have to say that there were Jews watching this paraduma from the moment it was conceived. We'll have to see why they would do that. I mean, you can't watch every cow in Israel all the time. So let's see. Venechush Dilma Ravua Le'ima Mikara. Let's take it even further. Maybe somebody had relations with the mother of this paraduma at some earlier point in her life. Did not, as we find, call up Sulin the Gabe Mizbeach, any animal with Pasula Mizbeach, and Nevar, Muktzah, etc. Vladotan Mutarin, if they had kids, they're Mutar. Vetanenor Beliezer, Ozer. Beliezer, who we're focused on here, says they're not Mutzah the Mizbeach. Now, we could answer this as follows. Hanechel Rava. Rava had a take on the Machloket. Dama Rava Amar Nachman. Machloket. The only machloket between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim is if the animal was nearby after it was kadosh, then it became pregnant, and then it gave birth. Rabbi Eliezer says you can't bring the baby. Chachamim say you can. But if it was nearby before it was kadosh, and then you were makdish, and then it had a baby, then even Rabbi Eliezer says it's mutar, and that's how we would solve this problem. All right, so they watched the animal from the moment that the mother was born, and so. El Ravuna Rachinina Amarav Nachman Machloket Kshinirbu Ukshain Chulin. But he takes it further. He says the Machloket or Eliezer and Chachamim about that last point is if they were nearby before being Kadosh. Then Rabbi Eliezer says, even though after you drew Makdishit, and then it became pregnant, and then it gave birth, you still can't bring the Vlad, and Chachamim say you can. Havakshain Muktashin, but if the animal is already Kadosh when you were Makdishit, and then it became pregnant, everybody would agree that the baby is Asur, but that means according to Rabbi Eliezer, at any point in the mother's life, if she was nearby, doesn't matter, even before she conceived this paraduma, then it's going to be a problem. The answer is, Ema Yisraeli Mishamim Ota Le'ima Mishashin Otzra. They watched the mother from the moment the mother was born. Why aren't we concerned that its mother was nearby? We're not going to go that far back. But now let's see if this works. Remember, we're positing here that in order to get this paraduma that's owned by this non-Jew and make it accessible, besides the middleman issue, we had to have been watching the paraduma's mother from the moment that mother was born. So how would they know to look at this animal, keep an eye on this animal and watch it? Because whenever they wanted to make a paraduma or try to get one, they had what they thought would work, which is to have when the male was mounting the female, they'd put some red cup or something, a cup of wine in front of him, he'd see red, and that would create red. So then why is a paraduma so expensive? Why is it so hard to make one? Everybody could make one. The answer is, because it could be invalidated very easily, just two black hairs invalidate. So here's the question. Why were they watching Dama ben Natina's herd? They weren't watching everybody's herd. Why were they watching his herd and keeping an eye on this mother from the moment she was born and she gave birth to the paraduma? Because this herd had a red strain in it. That's why. So then, of course, Dama ben Natina now having the paraduma is not all that surprising, unlike the way we assumed it earlier. This is a herd that regularly has red animals. Okay, that's our resolution. Now, we still have to look back at how Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim discussed the issue of other korbanot. Yativ Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yitzchak Napacha Akila de Rabbi Yitzchak Napacha. So Ami and Rabbi Yitzchak were sitting in Rabbi Yitzchak's house, or in his camp, under his roof, under his portico. Patachad Minarvam. This version of one of the stories, or Papa's version. Patachad Minarvam are, one of them said, V'chen Rabbi Eliezer posel b'chol b'chol kulan. We already saw this. Rabbi Eliezer says all korbanot cannot be bought from non-Jews. Patach idach minayovi amar, and the other one of these two said, and you know what? What did the colleague say to Rabbi Eliezer to prove that you can get animals from other non-Jews? from non-Jews called Son Kedai Kabsulach Yalu Al Ritzon Mizbechi. The pasuk we saw earlier. Now there's more to it. Amar Lan Rabbi Elazar. What was Rabbi Elazar's answer? Kulam Gerim Gruim Heim. Those are all Jewish wannabes. Meaning, in the future, there's going to be all these people who will want to identify as Jews. They may not be accepted as Jews, but they're all going to be good guys. They're all going to live good, and therefore, of course, we're going to take their korbanot. Atid Lavo. Now, Rav Yosef. Now, in this version, Rav Yosef comments on it. Says, Mikra, meaning in the Galil, those two Amoraim were discussing. The two generations later, the story got to Bavel, and Rav Yosef commented and said, Mikra, what's the pasuk to support that answer? That I will make all of the nations become one clear expression to worship God. So they're all gonna be wanting to worship God. This is one of the many different eschatological visions of what's going to happen to the people. They're going to become Jewish. They're going to become Gerim Gurim. They're going to be judged. Sefer Yoel. Different versions. Okay. So now Amar Le Abaye. Abaye turns to Rav Yosef and says, Rabbi, but don't me avodat kochavim huda hadur be'ahu. Maybe it just means they'll stop doing avodah zarah, but not necessarily that they're going to observe all the laws. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef answered, Lo avdosh chem echag thiv. The end of the pasuk is they'll all worship him like one shoulder, like one group. In other words, they're all going to adopt everything. Okay, Rav Papa Matniachi, that was Rav Papa's version of the story. Rav Zvid Matniachi, he had a different version, which is not all that different. Rav Tavayu Amri, in other words, in his version, that both Rav Yitzchak Napacha and Rav Yami said, Chen Rav Elazar Posav Achov Ganot, Vit Tavayu Amri, and they also gave the answer, Mayot Tivilei Chavor Adu Rav Elazar, Kotsan Kedav Kav Sulach. And Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Kulam Girim Gurim Heim, Latid Lavo, that's Rav Eliezer's answer to the Chachamim, Umaykra, and he continued to say, what's the pasuk? And the other version of Yosef said this. And now Rav Yosef is not the one supporting him with the pasuk, but challenging him in this version. So I'm really Abaye, and then Abaye in this version is not the challenger, but the responder, the defender. Okay, good. So two slightly different versions, all comes to the same place. Now, Meitave, watch this challenge. How can you say that you can't buy korbanot from non-Jews? Moshe said to Paro, before he'd say Mitzvah, not only are you going to let us go, you're going to provide us animals. So you can see you can buy animals from them. The answer is, Kodem Matan Torah Shani. This is before Matan Torah. Maybe the rules are different. Toshma, when Yitro comes to see Moshe at the beginning of Parshat Yitro, he brought korbanot. So Yitro Nami Kodem Matan Torah Havis. The answer is, he was also before Matan Torah. Sahane Chalmando Yitro Kodem Matan Torah Havis. That only works according to the Mandamar that Yitro we lose before Matan Torah. Elo the Mandamar Yitro Lachar Matan Torah Havis. But if you say he was afterwards, the famous Machloket, which plays out in Rashi and the Ibn Ezra versus the Ramban. Look at the first Ramban in Parshat Yitro. So Ma'ika Lameymar. Ramban says it was in order, and Yitro was before Matan Torah. Elo Yitro Yisrael Zavin. The answer is very simple. Yitro bought the animals from Jews who were there. Toshma, let's see. Vayomer Shaul me'amaliki haviyuma shachamal ha'amal me'tav ha'son ha'akar mishnim ha'akarim ha'kol ha'son l'man zvoach l'adonai l'vayacha. Shaul said to Shmuel, you know why we didn't kill the animals? Because we wanted to bring korbanot from these animals we got from Amalek. So my me'tav, so why did he say me'tav ha'son, the best of the animals? The answer is d'mei me'tav, meaning we would get the best animals and we'd sell them and use that money for korbanot. So why only the best animals? So people would want to buy them. Okay, that's easy. Toshma, Vayomer Avnal David, Yikach v'yal Aduni HaMelech et hatov me'inav, v'hineh bakar la'olav, v'megimuch le'ah bakar la'itzim. This is when David built the Mizbeach outside of the city, in the north of the city, on a little mountain that later became Har Habayit, and he bought the land from Aravna Yivusi, who owned a granary there. Aravna wanted to give him the land and to bring animals to him for him, and give him the animals for korban and the plow implements and everything else that he would cut up and use for a fire. Now David didn't want that, but the point is that he was willing to accept it on halachic grounds. So Rav Nachman, Aravna ger tol shavaya. Aravna was not really an akum; he was a goy who accepted shav mitzvah b'nei noach, which means he didn't engage in bestiality. So therefore, now parenthetically, my morigim. What are these morigim la bakar? Ma'ula mitashel torbil. It's some sort of a bed. We'll see what that is. My mitashel torbil. Iza de kurkasa de daishan. It's some sort of a thing that the animal drags that threshes wheat. Am Rav Yosef Maikra. We have a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Hine samtich lemurag charutz chadash bal pifiot tadush harim tadok vaot kamotz tasim. I've made you like a morag that's going to make ditches, and it's got lots of sharp edges, and it's going to thresh the mountains. So, you know, Morig is that. Morag, Morig. Okay. Meitave, watch this challenge. Ve'ata parota elu olav Adonai. This is when the Plishtim sent the Aron back after it wreaked havoc in Plishti territory, the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. And they sent it back to the Jews and the animals, and it's important to note that these animals, these two cows that led the wagon that had the Aron on it, the Plishti wizards wanted to make sure that this was really God's work, so they took cows that were nursing, locked their kids up, and sent the cows, and the cows walked straight, all the while lowing for their young that they couldn't nurse. What happened when they got to Beit Shemesh? The people rejoiced, they took the Aron, and then they cut the wagon up into pieces to make a fire, and they killed the parot and brought them as olot. So you see, they're willing to take animals from the Plishtim. The answer is Horat Shaita. That was some sort of a unique circumstance where there was evidently a Navi who said you could do it. Hachinami Mistaber, it has to be that way. Dilote Mahachi, Ola Nekeva Miika. There is no, these are parot. How can you bring a female animals in Ola? All olot are male. So Umay Kusha, who said? Dum Bamat Yachid. Maybe this is a Bamat Yachid, meaning this is not the regular central Mizbeach. It's not Shiloh. It's not Yerushalayim. How do I know that you could bring a feminine animal as a female animal as an ola? This is in the next war against the Plishtim. Shmuel takes a tlei chalav echad, which means a nursing lamb, and he brings it as an ola. So, hey, vayalehu zachar mashma. It says vayalehu, that it means it was a boy. So it's written without a vav. It's read with as vayalehu, but it's written without a vav, like it's feminine. Okay, that's the end of that particular piece. We're going to go back to that story very soon. Rabbi Yochanan goes back to comment on Rav's statement that we had at the beginning of the sugya, that a goy will be very careful not to attack, as it were, have bestiality with its own animal because it's going to make it an akara. He says, gvul yeshla, there's a limit to this, and that'll solve the problem. If he has relations with the animal before it's 3 years old, then it'll become ne'ekeret, and therefore he won't touch it. Which would mean you could buy an animal from a non-Jew who owned it from day zero until now, if now is less than three. Bad kimel shanim ain't on ne'ekeret, but afterwards nothing will happen to it. It's already too old, and therefore at that point you can't buy it. So he says very simply, that's how you resolve it. That's how you kind of look at Rav. Is that Rav's statement only really applies to the first 3 years. So, Rav Yochanan had to withstand all of these challenges we saw from Paro, and then from Yitro, and then from the Plishtim. And Shani Lepchutam Magimel Shanim, every one of them, he answered, yeah, that animal was less than 3 years old. So, Tashman Paro Talu Ola Hashem, but that doesn't work with the Plishtim sending the animals. Why? Because he said, oh, that was also three. Rav Vahuna Beredu Rav Natan. Since when? Then how do they have these cows? How do they have kids that they're nursing? Less than 3 years, a cow doesn't give birth. So how could this be a nursing mother and be less than 3 years old? Alright, and how do we know that? Parava chamor, if you buy a cow or a donkey, meaning if it's less than 3 years old and gives birth, or it's at 3 years old and gives birth, it for sure goes to the Kohen, because it's for sure a Bechor. It couldn't have given birth before. But if it's older than that, then it might be a Bechor, might not. It could have had a kid earlier. We have to go back to our original answer and say that he won't have relations at any point because he's concerned about hurting his own animal. 3 years does not make a difference. But we have to go back to our original answer, which is that you really cannot... You have to say that it was a horat sha'ah, and that's why they were able to bring those animals up. Now we have a good piece of Agadah from here about those animals that were walking and bringing the Aron back to Beit Shemesh. Vayisharna parot baderach al derach Beit Shemesh. Vayisharna literally means they walked straight. Now my Vayisharna, but there's a drasha. Vayochal mishumar meir sha'amru shira. They sang as they walked. So Ratuv Yamarav yashru pnehem keneged Aron v'amru shira. He plays with both meanings. They made their faces straight. Keneged the Aron's in back of them. So that either means they turned around as they did it, or else it means they were aligned with it. And they sang. Well, my Shira Amru, what's the Shira? Rabbi Yochanan Mishumar Meir, Az Yashimo Shavane Yisrael, Shirat Hayam. That's quoting our Meir. Rabbi Yochanan Didemar, what did he say on his own? Tem Bayom Ahu, Adul Adonai Kiru Vishmo, etc. The beautiful piece in the Haftarah of the last day of Pesach. Rav Shimon ben Lakish amar Mizmor Yatma. They said a Mizmor Yatom. And a Mizmor Yatma is generally interpreted to mean Mizmorim that don't have any sort of a title, a 50 out of 150 Mizmorei Tehillim that have no title like Lamanatzeach. But here the Mizmor Yatma is referring to a specific one, which is Mizmor Shur Adonai Shechadash Kini Flaut Asa Shiel Amino Zohar Kodesho. God has done wondrous things. Why does he call it a Mizmor Yatma? Because it has the word Mizmor, but doesn't have a name of a composer. Everything Mizmor the David, Mizmor the Asaf. This is just Mizmor. Rabbi Elazar Amar, he said, Adonai Malach, you're Gezu Amim. Hashem is king, and everybody's shaking, trembling. Achmani, Shmuel Menachoni Amar, Adonai Malach, Giut Lavesh. Again, these are all declarations of God being king. That's what the Parot sang. Rabbi Yitzchak Napach Amar, he has a whole different song, which is not in Tanakh. Ronu Ronu Hashita, sing, O Acacia Wood. He nofifi berov hadarecha mechusheket, berikmei zahav muhulala bidvir armon, so this is basically a beautiful song for the Aron, with its acacia wood and its gold, etc. Avashi matnila lahad Rabbi Yitzchak aha. He learned this statement of Yitzchak as being a comment not about that, but about this. So that's what Moshe said when he took the Aron out to war. Yisrael mayamru, what did Yisrael respond? It's like Ron Aron Ashita, they sang the song of praise for the Aron. Okay, Amar Rav. Come on, now this is a side piece, which you'll see where the connection is. Kaman karo parsari lisafra dvir. Why in ancient Persian, to us ancient Persian, is a sofer called a dvir? So I have an allusion at Sefer Yehoshua and Sefer Shoftim. Hashem dvir lefanim kiryat sefer. The old name of this town of Dvir that Otniel conquered was Kiryat Sefer. Okay? Amar Ravashi Amar Rav Safra. Kaman karo parsari lenida dashtana. Why do the Sasanians call a nida a dashtana? Mehacha derech nashim li. That's what Rachel says to Lavan. I can't get up because I'm in the way of women. Derech Nashim Dashtana. Okay. Now, the connection between this next piece, there are a few possible connections. The most obvious one is, because we're talking about Vayisharna with the word Yashar, and there was, of course, two references in Tanakh to Sefer HaYashar. I'll start here. Vayidoma Shemesh V'yarech Amar Adikum Goyivavalu Chituvaho Sefer HaYashar. That when Yehoshua had that day with the sun and the moon, whatever this means, stood still, it says, is this not written on Sefer HaYashar? So the Ibn Ezra, of course, famously says, yes, Sefer HaYashar is a book they had that we don't have. So my Sefer HaYashar, what's the drash? It's the book of Avraham Yitzchak, meaning the book of Bereishit, because they're called the straight ones. Shenemar, what does Bilam say? Tamot nafshi mot yisharim. I'd like to die the same death as the yisharim. All right, so Bereishit is Sefer HaYashar. And therefore, the sun standing still has to be something that's alluded to in Sefer HaYashar. Ve'echra Mizo, where's it hinted to? Ve'zaro yemelo agoyim. Meaning, that's what Yaakov gives the bracha to Yosef. And he gives the bracha that Manasseh and Ephraim, and he gives Ephraim the better bracha, and that his seed will fill the nations. What does that mean? So if Yoshua is from Ephraim, and Yoshua here does a nes that all the nations of the world see at one time. And the sun and the moon start. That's what happened. Okay, so now let's look a little further at that story. The description is that the sun stood straight above and didn't rush like on a normal day. So let's see what this means. It was 24 hours of daylight. Why? Azil sheet, it went up for 6 hours, for kam sheet, and then it stayed there for 6 hours. Azil sheet, it went down for 6 and got to the horizon. The kam sheet and stood there for 6, and then it set. So kula milta ki yom tamim. The whole day was like a yom tamim. He's playing on the yom tamim, a full day. So the whole daylight was like 24 hours. Well, azar mar shloshim sheet. He says no, it was 36 hours of daylight. Why? Azil sheet v'kam tresar. Azil sheet v'kam tresar. It went up 6 and stood for 12. Went down 6 and stood for 12 at the horizon. Why? Amidato ki yom tamim. Its stillness was 12 hours. Like it was 24 hours total. Shmona Achmani Amar Arbeim Shmona says it was 48. Why? Azil Sheet Vekam Trei. So it went 6 and stood 12 at high noon, and that is 18. Azil Sheet, it went down another 6. Vekam Esrim Varban, it stayed there for another 24 hours, total of 48. Shneimar Velo Atzlavo Kiyom Tamim, meaning it stopped Kiyom Tamim. Chaldim Ikar Lav Kiyom Tamim Have, meaning it was not yet a full day, and so now it waited another 24 hours. Now, Ikadami b'tosefta pligi. Maybe Rabbi Shimon Levi and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Rachmani and their drashot are disagreeing not about how long the whole day was, but how much was added to the day. Shimon Levi Yomer Arsim Ve'arba'ah. He says there's 24 hours added to the day, meaning a total of 36. This is why Yoshua is fighting the five kings. Azel Sheet Ve'kam Tracer. Azel Sheet Ve'kam Tracer. It went up 6 and then stopped for 12. And went down 6 and stopped for 12. Aminatoki Yom Tamim, meaning its standing was 24 hours, plus another 12. Avalazar Mar Shloshim Shesh. It stood for 36. Azel Sheet Ve'kam Tracer. Azel Sheet Ve'kam Asim Ve'arba. Which is the Shita of Shmuel Nachmani earlier. V'lo'atzla avoki yom tamim. Meaning that it stopped there for yom tamim. Nachmani Mar, so Rabbi Shmuel, he says 48 hours that it was stopped, in the total of 60 hours of daylight. Azel Sheet Ve'kam Asim Ve'arba. Azel Sheet Ve'kam Asim Ve'arba. Means at each point it stopped for 24. So 24 plus 6. Total of standing hours was 48, and total of hours of sunlight was 60 in this calculus. Okay. Makish amidato lebiato, ma biato ki yom tamim, just like it went down after, like, it stayed at the horizon for a full 24. Afminato ki yom tamim, similarly, when it was at high noon, it was full 24. Okay. Tana, kishem sham dalo chamal Yoshua, just like the sun stood still for Yoshua, kacham dalo chamal Moshe u'naktimon ben Gurion. It did that for Moshe one generation earlier, and for Naktimon ben Gurion, who lived during the times of the destruction of the second Mikdash. Yoshua cry. From Yoshua you got the Psukim. Naktimon Gurion Gemara. That we have a tradition. The Moshe ben Aaron, how do we know? Do we have any Psukim to support the idea that the sun stood still for Moshe? So Acha Achel Achel. The answer is that there's a Gzerah Shavah that compares the great deeds of Yoshua with the great deeds of Moshe. And that is Achel, meaning God says, I will now begin to make you great in the eyes of the nation, or to give your fear upon the nations. All right, so in Sefer Dvarim, Moshe recalls that Hashem said to him, now I'm going to put your fear on the people, I'll begin. And then in Sefer Yoshua, Perek Yimel, Pasuk Zayin, he says, now I'm going to begin to make you great. He has a different Gzerah Shavah. The same Pasuk in Dvarim. Yoshua, biyom teit Adonai Tamori, on that same day where the sun stood still, says on the day that Hashem gave the Amori over to Bnei Yisrael. Shor Nachmani Amar, migufe dekra shamat le. You actually infer it from the story itself. What does Hashem say to Moshe in that pasuk? Now I'm going to put your fear, because they're going to hear your fear and they're going to be all shaking from you. When's that going to happen? When the sun stands still for you. So Meitevei, the pasuk says, such a great thing never happened before nor since. Which means, by the way, the Naktumon Ben Gurion story is a little bit difficult. That's the pasuk about Yoshua. Maybe it means sun stood still, but not for so long. That, of course, you have the problem with Chizkiyahu and the Malot Achaz, where the sun reverses. What happened in that story that never happened before or since was the hailstones coming down to kill the enemies. And the next pasuk it says Avnei Barad. Okay, so that may be what it means, what the meaning of never happened since or before might be the meaning. Okay, now, one other reference to Sefer Yashar is in David's dirge for Yonatan, Kinala David. And it begins by saying to teach Bnei Yehuda archery. My Sefer Yashar, again Sefer Yashar, Mechia, Bar Abba, Meyachon, Sefer Avam, Yitzchak, V'Yakov, Shnikri Yisharim, same thing, Dechtiv Bahu, Tamon Nafshi, Mot Yisharim, Tuyachariti Kamahu. So now, Hecher Amiza, where is the idea of Yehuda learning archery from, alluded to in Bereshit, in the bracha that Yaakov gives to Yehuda, Yehuda, Tayaducha, Achacha, your brothers will acknowledge you, Yadcha, Ba'or, Favecha, your hand is on the neck of your enemies. What war is it in which, what form of war is it in which you have the hand next to the back of your neck? That's archery. He disagrees. He says, you know what Sefer Yashar is? It's Dvarim. I call it Sefer Yashar. Why is it called that? In Sefer Dvarim it says, you have to do what is right and good in God's eyes. Yashar. So now ask the question, where is there an allusion to teaching Bnei Yehuda to be archers in Dvarim? The answer is in Moshe's bracha to Yehuda. Yadav Ravlo, give him strong hands for his work. What part of war needs two hands? I'm like, Zakeshet, that's archery. Shachmani Amar is a Sefer Shoftim. He says, no, Sefer Ashar is Sefer Shoftim. Which, of course, is very difficult. Why call it Sefer Ashar? Because everybody was doing what was right in their eyes. It's not Sefer Ashar, it's the Sefer Akum, because everybody's doing what's right in their eyes, and it's chaos, but he said that your word Yashar does figure prominently in Shoftim, and that's the illusion. So, Echer Miza, where is there an allusion to Bnei Yehuda being archers in Shoftim? Because the real archers in Shoftim, of course, are Binyamin, the man, Dorot Binadad, Binor Bnei Yisrael, Adam Melchama. That Hashem kept, one of the three reasons given in the beginning of Shoftim of why Hashem kept the enemies around, one of them is a punishment, is a test, and also in order to keep Bnei Yisrael sharp in war. What kind of war needs practice and teaching? That is archery. Who says that Sefer Shoftim, that there's anything about Yehuda there? In the other two allusions, it was in the bracha that Yaakov gave in Breishit and Moshe gave in Dvarim, in both cases to Yehuda. Where's Yehuda here? At the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, Bnei Yisrael say, who should go first? And Hashem says, Yehuda goes first to war. Okay, one last Agadah here in Sefer Shmuel, when Shaul comes to meet Shmuel, and Shmuel immediately takes him up to the Nevi'im, and he has the rapturous experience, and he sits at the meal. So the cook brought this thigh and something that was on it and put it in front of Shaul, as Shmuel directed him. My veha aleha, what does it mean that was on it? It's an allusion to the tail. My veala, why is it called veala? Demit samcha shok la'alya, because you lean one against the other. Well, azromer shok v'chaze, it means the shok, the thigh, and the chest, the breast. My veala, why veala? Demachit la l'chaze ilaveda shok, they put the chest on top of the thigh, ki boy anufi manfile, when you lift it up, and give it to the kohen as part of the shlomim. Shonachmani amar shok v'shofi. Right, it means that it's the shok, the thigh, and the piece that surrounds the sort of the joint that surrounds the thigh. And so, why is it called that? Why is it called aleha? Shofi ilaveh to shokai, because that's where it sits on the body. It sits on top of it. Okay, we're going to pause at this point. We're going to go back to our Mishnah in the next podcast. I read the last two clauses and then see the Gemara's analysis, but in the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.